Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. I just have to tell you this funny story. My best friend for 40, 50 years, for a long, long time, at least 40 years, lives in New York City. His name is Jerry Schneiderman. And back in the 80s, or in the 70s, actually, when it was all Ma Bell, you know, we had just basically one phone company. And Jerry wanted to have a fax line put in his house because everybody was getting a fax line, you know, and he was running a business, a small business. And in fact, that's how I met him originally, was we did business together. And the phone company, he wanted to have it unlisted because it was just a fax number. And so he called up and they said, "Yeah, that'll cost you 50 cents a month to have it unlisted." And he's like, "Wait a minute, you don't have to pay to print the ink in the book. It costs you less money if I'm unlisted, but you're charging me more? This isn't right." So anyhow, he hung up and he called back and he said, "I'd like to order a regular phone line." And they asked him what his name was. And he said, "My name is Izzy, I-Z-Z-Y, Unlisted, U-N-L-I-S-T-E-D, Izzy Unlisted." And they took the order and everything was cool. And a month or so later, somebody from the phone company calls up doing their best Lily Tomlin imitation and says, "Mr. Unlisted," and Jerry is like, "Well, yes," and she's like, "The phone company's not amused. This is not funny. You can't have phony names like this." And Jerry just goes off on her. He goes, I'm so tired of this. I've been putting up with this crap my whole life. I am a French Jew. It's not unlisted. It's Unlisted. My name is Isaiah Unlisted. And she's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Unlisted. I'm not anti-Semitic. I didn't, you know." I don't know if Jerry still has that number. I know he did a year or two ago. And it was in the phone book for years and years. You could call the phone company and say, you know, what number do you want? Unlisted. What's unlisted? No, the number. Is he unlisted? No. It was like a Laurel and Hardy routine. So anyhow, he sends me a note this morning. And I mentioned this briefly. I sent him back a note saying, "Did you actually do this?" And he says, "I really did. I've read many times how the people who work at the New York Post have normal jobs and don't share their politics." So anyhow, here's his note to me this morning. He said, "I noticed this morning that for the second time in 2 weeks, there was not a story about the Hunter Biden hard drive in today's New York Post. This concerned me, so I called their editorial department to express my displeasure as a longtime subscriber. The joke was on me, as the guy I spoke with explained to me that they still have a columnist, Miranda Devine, devoting most of her space to this important story. I had to apologize to the paper. The guy told me this with a somber and serious tone of voice. Maybe I'll complain again tomorrow with no follow-up on their two beauty contest contestants marry each other's story." So anyway, it's on the Hunter Biden alert. The New York Post, never giving up. All righty, back to your calls. Mike in Lomita, California. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, I just wanted to join your bandwagon for standard time. I guess Marco Rubio objects to the government forcing our clocks to lie 8 months of the year, and he wants to make it year-round. Well, be that as it may.
Well, you know, it was, you know, the I don't know if it's mythology. I've read several articles saying that it's true, and I've read our articles purporting to debunk it. But the story is that daylight savings time was promoted by a couple of golf guys because they wanted an extra hour of daylight to play golf after work.
Yeah, it may be more than one origin, but in each case, it's somebody trying to force everybody else to come to this sort of ridiculous result where people don't even understand that moving clocks' hands does not alter the rotation of the Earth.
Right, exactly. And it hits, if you live north of, you know, a line basically across, you know, the Michigan-Indiana border, if you were just to draw a line across the country right about there, if you live north of that, the impact of this is huge compared to if you live south of that. I mean, if you're down in Florida, you're close enough to the equator that you're going from 14-hour days to 12, you know, to 10-hour days, that kind of thing. But up here, we're going, you know, we can go down as little as, what, 6 or 7 hour days in the dead of winter? And you know, 15, 16, and in Alaska, it's even bigger. So I'm with you, Mike.
Actually, I called in with a warning, however, on air pollution and new findings. Yeah, if you exercise where there's a high fine particulate count,
right,
your increase of acquiring dementia increases by 3% for each microgram increase of small particulate.
Whoa.
So if there's a brush fire, don't tough it out and run.
I'm with you. Charles in Santa Monica. Hey, Charles, what's on your mind today?
Oh, man, lots of things. Well, the first thing that I was going to say was start a minor conspiracy about MSNBC, because it seems to me, being retired, I end up watching this thing a lot, and that they're tracking towards the center, sort of hedging their bets in the way they report, mm-hmm. which is a really good reason to keep supporting KPFK and Free Speech Television.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. In fact, I don't know if you caught it, but they just fired Tiffany Cross.
Your rant about to nationalize the oil companies. God, I mean, the thing is, it has to be global. This is what's behind the conflict in Ukraine. Nobody talks about Ukrainian gas cutting into Russian profits. And this whole thing, we're all locked in this death spiral. If we don't figure out how to get out of it and recognize this has to be done across the board. I mean, you know, all the other nations, in my opinion, have to nationalize their petroleum industries as well.
I'm with you. But just the big three, you know, if we were to nationalize ConocoPhillips, ExxonMobil, and Chevron, you know, the big three American companies, these are companies that are not only spreading propaganda here in the United States, they're doing it all around the world. And yes, on Ukraine, by the way, this is something that, you know, is very rarely even mentioned. But central Ukraine is sitting atop what is probably Europe's largest deeply buried shale that could be fracked for oil and natural gas. It's just massive across central Ukraine and out to eastern Ukraine, which is the Donbas region. It's just they're sitting on, you know, billions of cubic whatevers, you know, of natural gas and oil that could be fracked out. So I'm with you, Charles. I think it's terrible what's going on, and you know, we need to do something about it. Thanks a lot for the call. Johnny in Pasco, Washington. Hey, Johnny, what's on your mind today?
Hey, man, I just want to get back on the topic of Latinos voting mostly Republican.
Yeah. Not mostly, but the percentage, particularly in Texas and Florida, that have become Republican has about doubled in the last 4 or 5 years, it appears.
Yeah. So the reason for that is mostly due to them wanting to identify as white. I know on my mother's birth certificate it says that she's white, but she's a lot darker than me, and I'm a pretty dark guy. And so it's weird that for some reason in the United States we don't really have a like classification or like a race for Hispanic or Latino people. And so that it just stuck with me. And I remember as a kid, I was like, so what would I classify myself as? And even now, exiting the Marine Corps and everything, I'm like looking for jobs and I have to put in my, like my race and everything. It's optional, but I still put it in. Mm-hmm. And it's like confusing at most points.
Yeah. One of the things that I noticed, I back in the 80s when I was doing international relief work, I worked in Bogota, Colombia, and in Lima, Peru. Actually in the outskirts of both, in the barrios. And but we were interacting with the government officials in both countries. And what was really clear to me and rather startling, you know, I was unfamiliar with how South America worked, was that basically all the people who had real power in those two countries, again, this was 40 years ago, but that I was interacting with were, quote, Hispanic, but they were white people, essentially. You know, they were people who were largely, probably more than 90% of their heritage was Spanish, like in Europe, you know, Spain.
Yeah.
As opposed to the people who were doing the work on the streets, the people who were walking, you know, who were literally, you know, sweeping the streets, the people who had the lower paid jobs, and the people in the middle area were the people who were whose ancestors were the native people of Central and South America. And, you know, we're much darker. And that, I'm assuming that that split is still there and it's still very real, but I think that happening...
It's still there and that's still happening.
Yeah, and what's happening now is that the Republican Party is kind of playing into that exact same dynamic and saying to particularly the Hispanics who are very light-skinned and who, you know, have more Spanish ancestry than Mayan or Aztec or, you know, there's literally thousands of tribes down there, but you get my point, saying, well, you know, we'll give you some white privilege, just come on over to our side. And I think that that's what's going on.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing in the Marine Corps, because I've noticed a lot of guys, they enter in and they're all full gung-ho Republican. And then once they realize that, like, benefits and stuff like that and laws that are passed by Republicans when they get out, it doesn't really help them. And they're kind of stuck there, and they're like, well, what do we do now?
So these are Hispanics, Latinos that you knew in the Marine Corps that are waking up to the basically racism of the Republican Party?
Yeah, it happens a lot. I remember one of my sergeants there, he should still be in because I just recently got out about 6 months ago. He was talking about his promotion and how they would not let him promote, become a staff sergeant because of his race, basically. Mm. He was like top of his everything, PFT and everything. All of his scores were perfect. He was always raising his hand, telling, you know, he wanted to do stuff so that way he could be noticed and get promoted.
So he was experiencing racism in the military?
In the military, there's a big, it's really messed up.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Johnny. I had hoped that, yeah. I mean, you know, this has been a challenge since Franklin Roosevelt, well, Harry Truman, you know, formally integrated the military. And, wow. Okay. Johnny, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call. Thanks for the information and the insights. It's valuable. I appreciate the call. Larry in Los Angeles. Hey, Larry, what's on your mind today?
Hey, I'm going to try to tackle this inflation.
Yeah.
Number one, high wages do actually attract more and better able productive people and better educated people. And that is one of the reasons why in raising the minimum wage does not cause prices or inflation to rise.
That's right.
Because people are now more productive.
Right, and the whole history of this, by the way, all the way back to 1935, when the minimum wage went into place, there has never been a year where the minimum wage was increased and you could attribute that to any increase in inflation, ever. Never happened.
And so we get to this situation where Bloomberg has been urging all of the corporations and companies to raise their prices. Because they now have pricing power. And lo and behold, everybody starts raising their prices and we get inflation. Number one, inflation does not cause recessions. Turkey has a 83% inflation rate right now.
Whoa.
They're not in recession.
Whoa.
And you look at even when Jimmy Carter was president and inflation went up to nearly 20%, It wasn't the inflation that caused Jimmy Carter's recession. It was the Federal Reserve's response to the inflation. Taking the Fed rate up to 20% will kill any economy.
Yeah.
And so we have this situation in L.A. where the public storage decided they were going to tear down an 8-story building, and then that jacked up the prices of storage all over L.A. And I looked up public storage profits for the last quarter that ended in September. September was the last day they were supposed to, everybody was supposed to take their stuff out of public storage. The two previous years, it was 2% growth in their profits. It was 23% last September.
Wow.
They found a way to jack up the prices of, now everybody, it's not just the people who had
Larry,
to move out of that.
Larry, I'm sorry, I got to run. We're hitting the break here, but thank you very much for that. It's always great to hear from Larry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Larry is so good. He knows his stuff. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Republicans have a funny definition of strengthen when it comes to Social Security. This is pretty amazing. Kevin McCarthy, I saw this on two different TV programs. Kevin McCarthy on TV going, oh, no, we don't want to cut Social Security. No, we want to strengthen Social Security. That's what Republicans are all about. This was on Fox News. They confronted him. He says, here's the commitment to America. What does it say in there? Save and strengthen Social Security. But McCarthy himself has said that it is the intention of the Republicans in the House of Representatives to hold the country hostage, the debt ceilings, to hold that hostage, unless the Democrats will agree to cuts in Social Security and Medicare. It's the two Santa Clauses story. If every year for the past 5 years, Republicans were able to hold the... I mean, just think about this for a second. Right now, the Republicans are using this debt ceiling as a weapon to hold America hostage to get whatever they want. And it's a very formidable weapon. Now, Rick Scott has said every 5 years we should have to vote, Congress should have to vote affirmatively to renew Social Security and Medicare. Ron Johnson in Wisconsin wants it to be voted on every year. Can you imagine the kind of leverage that would give Republicans in Congress? No, we're going to filibuster this. We're going to end Social Security with a filibuster. They could do it under this plan or under some variation of this plan. And it's not like they're not saying that they've been doing it. I mean, you know, George W. Bush campaigned in 2004 on privatizing Social Security. The current Republican Study Committee budget, which is endorsed by 158 House Republicans, Kevin McCarthy said, oh, they don't have any power. 158 House Republicans, that's more than half of all the Republicans in the House of Representatives, have endorsed this plan to cut Social Security, to privatize Social Security, to basically hand it off to the big banks. But, hey, Kevin McCarthy's saying, no, we want to protect Social Security. We want to strengthen it. Right. Look at what they say, well, what they say and what they do, what they try to do, rather than just their rhetoric on Fox News. Okay, picking up your phone calls. Zeke in Portland. Hey, Zeke, what's on your mind today?
Well, Tom, yeah, as far as I know, and you may know more about this than I do, there's no precedent for what happened in 2020 when the Republican Party had no platform other than the big lie that Trump had the election stolen from him by the dastardly Democrats.
Well, they didn't even have that as a platform before that. I mean, you know, this is leading up to the election. But basically, their 2020 platform was whatever Donald Trump says, that's what we agree to. You're right.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was by and large their platform in 2016.
Yeah, well, that brings me to the by now fairly well-known quote from the only Republican president I have any affection for, Dwight David Eisenhower, who said that if a political party does not have its foundation...
Yes, Zeke, I'm sorry, you're breaking up so badly, I can't hear it, but I'm with you on, I love that Eisenhower quote. I use it often, we'll revisit it another time. Jan in Etna Green, Indiana. Hey, Jan, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, I just wanted to follow up on something you mentioned earlier concerning Republicans holding the debt ceiling hostage. A news feed came across the AP this morning that said that Joe Manchin, one of my least favorite senators, is willing to work with Republicans on this.
Yeah, my prediction is that sometime in the next couple of months, you're probably going to see Joe Manchin and maybe Kirsten Sinema become Republicans. But, you know, we'll see. But I'm with you. Jan, thank you for that. Paul in Benton, Pennsylvania. Hey, Paul, what's up?
Yeah, hi, Tom. You know, I just wanted to say, you know, the Democrats need to get out in front of the, you know, Social Security issue.
Agreed.
Because the Republicans have, you know, it's another straw man argument. They're trying to tie Social Security and Medicare to the debt. And Medicare and Social Security, as we all know, as we know, is funded through our payroll taxes. They're not part of the debt. They have nothing to do with the deficit. And a lot of people, most people don't know that Social Security and the Social Security Trust Fund are two separate entities. They also don't know that there's a cap on contributions, and they better get out in front of it, because once you let your opponent define you or define an issue, you've already lost the argument.
Right. When you start playing defense, you're in trouble.
Yeah. And it's like this, I think it was Al Davis, the owner of the old Oakland Raiders, that said the difference between a great football team and a good football team is that a great football team plays to win, a good football team plays not to lose.
Yeah, good point, good point. Paul, thank you. Spot on. I think your analysis is accurate, and I entirely agree with it. Back with your calls right after this. Brian in Bothell, Washington. Hey, Brian, what's on your mind today?
Thank you, Tom. I wanted to talk about, I mean, I believe at this point in time in our history that we should be able to render absurd through gathering of evidence of the Supreme Court's decision basically saying that just because billionaires and corporations are going to dump boatloads of money into candidates or bills that could be passed to feed their ideology, I mean, haven't we gathered enough evidence at this point to render that absurd? And I wanted to connect it directly to such things as the minimum wage. I know that's been held back for a good 40 years now, but it plays so well into the Citizens United. They're telling us that speech is money while they refuse to allow us to have a minimum wage hike, let alone a living wage. Right. And I think that perhaps, you know, Democrats should start beginning to use that decision in the fight for gaining us a better wage, because basically we can never stand against the power of that kind of money and finance.
Right.
And the only way to do it would begin to start raising us up from the bottom, perhaps even gather the information of how much money is being spent in these elections and correlate that directly to what we should be making when we go to work and sell the moments of our life for a wage.
In other words, Brian, what you're saying is it's minimum wage workers versus the giant corporations and the billionaires who own them. And the minimum wage workers have no speech. They have no money that they can use to buy television advertising or buy politicians. And the billionaires and the corporations have all
What they're doing is they're hitting the mute button on our own say in our own democracy.
Yeah, that's brilliant, Brian. And I need to write about that. In fact, I that's an absolutely brilliant analysis, Brian. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Yeah, and you know, another thing I wanted to say real quick, to those of us who want to say, well, you know, I don't know if I'm going to vote or I think I've given up, I refer to indigenous people who always seem to hang on and in honor, you know, serve their ancestors, those who fought so hard. They never give up the idea, the reality that they're standing on the shoulders of their, you know, those who have come before them. I know we don't have the long ancestral line here as Americans, but I would say to those people who are stepping away, giving up, that quit disrespecting your ancestors and get out there and vote.
Mm. Yeah, I think that probably most minority groups have a sense of connection. Well, it's probably a fairly human thing, but I think that your point about Citizens United and the minimum wage is you know, because typically when we talk about Citizens United, we talk about, you know, they're fighting deregulation or they want deregulation, they're fighting regulations or they're fighting taxes. Taxes is the big one. There's not typically much conversation about the minimum wage, and just, you know, basically what we've done is we've put, you know, duct tape over the mouths of minimum wage workers with Citizens
United. Absolutely.
Yeah. Brilliant analysis. Brian, thank you for the call. Anthony in Port Orchard, Washington. Hey, Anthony. Thanks for listening to SiriusXM. What's up?
Oh, hey, Tom. Yeah, if you look around the world, you see an assault on democracy everywhere.
Yeah.
And I would like somebody to look in and find out where it's all coming from, because I think it's all coming from Putin. And you look at these autocrats that are popping up, and he seems to be their poster boy. You know, they're always praising him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was KGB back in the Soviet days.
Yep.
And, you know, the Russian thing was always, we're going to destroy America from within. We're not going to have to come and get you and bomb you. We're going to destroy you. And I really believe they're carrying it out. I mean, you look at these people now in the Republican Party that are pro-Putin. They say they're going to cut funding to Democrat. What's Tucker Carlson now calling it? Ukraine's war on Russia?
Right.
And, you know, I think it's really scary because it seems that the Republicans do not, and I hate to say this because I used to be a Republican years ago, but I don't think they like America anymore.
I don't think they like the concept of pluralistic America. I think basically the Republican Party went insane in 2008 when America elected a black man as president.
Yeah, and I just can't believe it. But I really think if people don't wake up, I mean, all you got to do is look at history. If you don't wake up, you don't get out and vote, I think democracy is gone. And like you were talking about earlier, we're going to slip into one of those fascism-type countries like Hungary or somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, we'll just keep our heads
or Turkey
down and we'll plow through the day working.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Just go to work and don't get political and your life will be good. And yeah, absolutely, Anthony. Anthony, thank you very much for the call. John in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, John, what's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning, Tom. Hey, I want to talk about something that to me I find very alarming. No one's talked about it. We need to talk about Elon Musk. Elon Musk is a very dangerous threat to democracy. He's no different than Trump and Putin. He does not understand what free speech means. I've heard from other guys who you respect on this channel, and that is what they're guessing. And the thing is, this man is very dangerous. I know a lot of people think he's awesome because of Tesla. He could care less about Tesla. He only cares about the money. I mean, this guy spends $44 billion on Twitter when there's only 8 billion people on the planet. I mean, Tom, this man is extremely, extremely dangerous.
Yeah, well, we will see, John. I'm looking at some of the changes that he's made on Twitter or is proposing. I mean, bringing back Trump, I think, is pretty bad, but diminishing the power.
I was just going to say, a lot of big companies right now have backed off from Twitter.
No, I know that. Everybody's kind of waiting to see what's going to happen. But I think that moving to a subscriber base and away from an advertising base is actually a good and healthy thing for a social media company because it shifts the incentives. Right now, the incentive is to have as much engagement as possible so that you can deliver ads to people so you can make more money. If instead you're charging people, you know, a subscriber base, then you have no incentive any longer to drive more and more crazy crap at people to get them more and more engaged, because you don't need to be providing them with more and more ads to make the same amount of money. So if Musk actually shifts Twitter out of an advertising-based model and into a revenue-based model, I think that's actually going to be a really good thing for Twitter. I realize there's a lot of people really upset about, oh, I'm going to have to pay $8 for a blue check or, you know, whatever. But having run forums, I ran forums on CompuServe for a decade back in the 80s. And when people are paying for something as opposed to getting it for free, their incentives are different and your incentives are different, and it really alters things. So I'm not a big fan of Elon Musk, although I am impressed by how much money he's made over the years. But you know, what's the old saying? Behind every great fortune is a great crime. In his case, I think it was, you know, great subsidies from the U.S. government to make Tesla go, and now he's got all these government contracts. But you know, if he's making the changes that I'm hearing about so far, I'm not sure they're not a good thing rather than a bad thing.
Tom, two quick questions. I agree with you. I like the paid subscription, but here's my two questions. Just because he's taking it private doesn't mean he doesn't have to comply by laws. And second thing is, just because it's private, that doesn't mean that he could redefine in his own definition of what free speech is.
Well, actually, it does. I mean, because free speech does not apply to Twitter. The First Amendment prohibits the government from inhibiting free speech. It doesn't prohibit any private corporation from inhibiting free speech. You know, if you walk into your place of employment and start, you know, yelling obscenities, your employer has every right to fire you. It's, you know, in every state in the union. Free speech is only the prohibitions on speech can only be, I'm saying this wrong. The only agency that can be prohibited from prohibiting speech is the government. That's what the First Amendment says. So it doesn't stop Elon Musk from doing what he's doing. John, thank you for the call. Lisa in Roseville, California. Hey, Lisa, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
My concern is whether President Biden has prepared his administration to make sure that the military and all the agencies, the law enforcement agencies, such as the CIA, FBI, et cetera, do you know whether he has been preparing our country for a possible civil war? Because that's my main concern, being a progressive.
I would be astonished at this point in time if they're not. What I don't understand is how Chris Wray, who was the FBI director on January 6th, and, you know, withheld information about the coming coup attempt, how he's still in charge of the FBI. I'm very concerned about the right-wing infiltration of our police institutions and our military, for that matter.
That's exactly how I feel about it. And I was going to raise that question to you, whether you know whether Chris Wray has been replaced, but evidently he has not.
No.
So that also raises a red flag to me. So
he's such a congenial guy, you know. He testifies well. He cleans up well. He just looks like a friendly guy. He looks like somebody, you know, out of central casting. You want somebody who's going to be on the set of Friends, you know, or Cheers, you know, who's sitting at the bar. Who's the nice guy? Well, Chris Wray looks like that would be the guy. He withheld information on January 6th. Or if he didn't withhold it, he was criminally negligent, or at least negligent. I mean, it's astonishing. Lisa, I got to run, but thanks a lot for the call. It's good to hear from you. Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. With higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, all into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. It's accessible from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Hartman with two N's. netsuite.com/Hartman. That's netsuite.com/Hartman.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Welcome back. A couple of quick stories I wanted to share with you. The first is a QAnon vigilante in California. This is what happens when these kinds of stories get propagated. You know, these bizarre stories about, oh, you know, the whole state is full of sexual predators and the Democrats are all drinking children's blood and blah-de, blah-de, blah. This guy went off on it. 55-year-old Rory Banks came up with a kill list. He went on this website, Megan's Law website, and found the names of all the sex offenders who lived near him. There were four of them, registered sex offenders. He went to the home of Ralph Mendez, Rory Banks of Wheatland, California, goes over to Mendez's home and wakes up Mendez and his 88-year-old mother. This is a guy who was convicted of a sex crime back in 2009. 16 years ago, right? 17? No, 2009. 13 years ago. Yeah, I don't do math in my head well. 13 years ago. And, you know, served his time. He's out, but he's on the sex offender list, and you can look him up. And so Rory Banks goes, breaks into this guy's house, wakes him up and his 88-year-old mother, shoots him in the stomach, then shoots him in the head, and then calls 911 and says, come and get him. And he had a list. He was, in fact, they found him covered in blood in the driveway with a pistol on the ground. He surrendered. He had a QAnon sticker on the back of his car. According to the prosecutors, he was constantly on his phone using the Telegram, social media, and, quote, doing research that ultimately led him to conclude that his community was plagued by sex offenders. And he had personally marked for death this guy and three other people. And apparently just killing the first guy was enough to, you know, at that point it was like, okay, I'll stop now. But this is what happens when these kinds of bizarre theories get spread around. It's like, you know, somebody trying to start a some kind of bizarre story that, you know, Tucker Carlson has a murder castle that he secretly lives in Washington, D.C., you know, that kind of thing. I mean, you know, if it's just, it's wrong. You just don't do that. Also, I wanted to talk about what the Republican Party is doing about Social Security and Medicare, what they're threatening to do, and why is it that the New York Times is talking about it the way they are? The headline in Republicans float changes to Social Security and Medicare. Changes? The article starts out, prominent Republicans are billing the moves as necessary to rein in government spending, which grew under both Republican and Democratic presidents in recent decades and then spiked as the Trump and Biden administrations unleashed trillions of dollars in economic relief during the pandemic. Influential Republicans have signaled a new willingness to push for Medicare and Social Security spending cuts as part of future budget negotiations with President Biden. So that's like halfway into the article. And then in the last third of the article, we get to the point that they're threatening to shut down the government if they don't get their way, which is like the nuclear, you know, an economic nuclear bomb. It's, by the way, not a new thing, but it's in the last third of the article. These comments suggest, this is a quote from the Times, those comments suggested that unlike in past negotiations, Republicans could demand future cuts to the programs in order to raise America's borrowing limit and avoid a default on government debt. This is the two Santa Claus theories on steroids. This is purely nothing more or less than two Santa Clauses. Where the Republicans, when they're in power, they spend money like drunken sailors. No offense to drunken sailors. And when they're out of power, they yell and scream about the deficit and try to force Democrats to shoot Social Security and Medicare, which are, you know, the Democrats' Santa Claus. How can this be anything other than that? Anyhow, I've got a quick geeky science for you about pomegranates and cancer. I'll talk about that right after the break, and I will pick up your phone call. Stick around. Welcome back. We've got a geeky science. This is an amazing geeky science story. So far, this research has only been done on rats in the and mice in the actual, hey, let's see how this works. But the epidemiology on humans seems to go along with it. Colorectal cancer is the third most commonly diagnosed cancer in the world. And the your chances of survival are based on the density of the, what are called CD8 plus cells, these cells that cause cell death, basically. And a recent study showed that concentrated forms of a compound called urolithin A, UA, which is the natural product, a breakdown product of pomegranate digestion, induces what's called mitophagy, which if or mitophagy, I'm not sure how to pronounce this word, but mitophagy, the breakdown of old or redundant cellular powerhouses known as mitochondria. This in turn encourages the creation of new mitochondria and slows the progression of age-related diseases. And so they also found that UA, this compound that's the result of properly metabolizing pomegranate, has immunomodulatory effects in cells that reduce inflammation and enhance immune function. They explored the effects of UA on colorectal cancer in mice. They found it was strongly protective. And our findings are particularly exciting, said Dr. Dominik Denk, a physician at Frankfurt University Hospital in Germany, he was the first author of the study, because it's not on a tumor cell, but on the immune system, the natural defense against cancer. In other words, this is not killing tumors, it's cranking up the immune system to kill tumors. He talks about how UA, this compound in pomegranates, is actually a metabolite. In other words, it's the product of the digestion or the breakdown of what are called elagitannins, maybe E-L-A-G-I-T-A-N-N-I-N-S, elagitannins, I think, which are a type of polyphenol. You know, I talk about polyphenols when I talk about, you know, one of our advertisers, Vital Reds. You know, it's of 25 different red berries, and it's all about the polyphenols. Well, polyphenols are the colored things in brightly colored fruits. And polyphenols are known to have antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties, and UA is one of those polyphenols. He says the elagitannins are predominantly found in pomegranates, but they're also found in strawberries, raspberries, and nuts, most notably walnuts. But they're converted to UA in your gut by bacteria, so you got to have healthy gut bacteria, which is a whole nother discussion for another time. But anyway, our geeky science for the day, I thought you would find that fascinating. Let's pick up your phone calls here. Derek in Newcastle, Delaware. Hey, Derek, what's on your mind today?
Hey, how you doing, Tom Hartman?
Good.
First time caller, long time listener.
Thank you.
Hey, I was calling because I was hoping that you can use your platform to remind people not to believe anything that these Republicans say when it comes to Social Security. You got to ask yourself, how can these people really be serious when they keep holding on to the big lie? So anything coming out of their mouths has to be a lie. If they want to renounce the big lie, then maybe they may be believable. But until they do that, until they kick out all of these QAnon crazies out of their party, they can never be trusted.
Well,
So here's one other question I have for you. Do you think Jenny Thomas may have perjured herself when she told the January 6th committee that she and her husband live separate lives and they don't communicate what they do with each other?
I would have to go back and check, Derek, on the news stories at the time, but my recollection is that she was not recorded and she was not under oath.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah. She could say pretty much anything. Maybe she was under oath. I'm pretty sure she wasn't.
You're probably right. She probably was not under oath. But here's the other thing I want people to think about. Do you really think these Republicans are going to do anything about climate change when all they want to do is, you know, set up a reign of terror and take out revenge on anybody?
Well, and they're taking money from the fossil fuel billionaires and the fossil fuel industry. Rick Scott, who is in charge of getting people elected to the United States Senate, he runs the Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee, the RSCC. Rick Scott has come out with a plan, an 11-point plan to rescue America. And one of his 11 points is that every 5 years, Congress will have to vote on whether to keep Social Security and Medicare. And if they don't majority vote to keep it, it goes away automatically. And it's a plan basically to end Social Security. So spot on, Derek, spot on. Thanks a lot for the call. Kate in Eureka, California. Hey, Kate, what's on your mind today?
Oh, hi. Yeah, I, sorry, I've been waiting so long. My comment is about how when people are talking to, like, the election deniers or the poll watchers, or I'm always frustrated because people never push their questioning far enough. And it seems to me that when they accuse the Democrats of cheating on elections, nobody asks them, well, they must be amazing geniuses that they've created this whole conspiracy and plot without any, leaving any, you know, footprint anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere to be detected. But also when the for example, the poll watchers, I don't have any here, but I would encourage, you know, interviewers or people doing it, encountering them, to ask them, well, what? Why should we trust you? I mean, who's watching you when you're voting? Yeah. You know, I mean, nobody ever stands up to these people and really, you know, pushes back. It's a really real concern.
And in fact, you know, several of the people that I pointed out, Ken Paxton, the AG down in Texas, who for 7 years has been under federal under indictment for securities fraud, still is under indictment for securities fraud, that when he went after people and tried to prosecute 10 different people for participating in our elections, in most all of those cases, the people he was prosecuting were retired volunteers. They're trying to get these retired volunteers out of the elections offices and out of, you know, volunteering for elections and things, and replace them with these hardcore right wingers. And it's just a deadly and dangerous thing. Kate, thank you for the call. Donna in Ventura, California. Hey, Donna, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. I heard you talk to somebody about how you weren't too concerned about this Republican who said that once he was elected into this seat would remain Republican. And I told the lady who talked to me about how it's a huge dog whistle in the Bannon world. And would you, because before I listened to your show, I watched the War Room, Steve Bannon's War Room, for 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
I'm trained as a psychiatrist, so, you know, I want to know just how awful this is going. So he has had for months, one of the things that he says is 100 seats for 100 years.
Whoa.
The Senate. No, I so know.
There's a,
that's
there's
what
a bigger
I thought,
backstory
and that's
here.
Why I'm so glad I got through, because that's how partitioned these information silos are.
Yeah.
That my stochastic ability to get through and ring was able to let you know that, oh, no. This is what's on Real America Voice. And he was on yesterday. There's this anti-East Indian ads going around that leftists don't want your children to go to the best universities, even though they have the grades. And he had the Republican who was bankrolling this ad that I'm seeing,
Steve Bannon,
yesterday in the War Room.
Yeah, Donna, I'm sorry I have to run. We're out of time. But thank you for the call. I look forward to future conversations.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Tim in South Bend, Indiana. Hey, Tim, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom.
you know, I'm on a fixed income, but I still get, you know, a lot of different groups that are trying to get some money from me, and I've certainly given a little bit. But very often they'll send a questionnaire to me, and I'll fill out the questionnaire. And what's very tough is, you know, I can't just limit it to one or two issues. I mean, I pretty much check every issue is important to me that they have in these questionnaires. But under other, I always put get money out of politics, because it's not never on the questionnaires.
Yeah.
And I do that, and I recommend that to your viewers as well, that under other, always put get money out of politics, so that maybe one of these days it'll become the core issue, because I think, well, you know, that that's really number one issue.
Yeah.
Until we can do that, it's going to be very hard to change all these other issues.
You must be on different mailing lists than I am, Tim. I haven't seen in probably 2 years an honest survey. All the ones that I get, when I click on them, they take me to sites where, you know, they're trying to harvest my personal information, or they're trying to solicit a donation. And you know, when that happens, you know that they're not even looking at the results of the survey. They just want your name, your address, and your money.
Well, you know, that's what I was afraid of. Now, granted, they're all Democratic, or at least they claim to be Democratic things, and I don't.
Oh, that's
know,
interesting.
Well, it automatically goes to. What's that company, Blue, something Blue?
Yeah, Act Blue.
Yeah. It always goes to that right after the end of the survey.
Right.
And
right.
So, you know, so I'm hoping it's legit. But there is one thing that you brought up that reminds me that and this has concerned me, and I meant to call, you know, a couple weeks ago, and that is, you know, they always say, oh, two times, three times, four times match of whatever you give.
Right.
And I'm thinking, if you've got that money and these races are so tight, forget about matching what little amount I'm going to be able to give you. Get the money into those races.
Yeah. Well, the simple reality there is that when people are solicited for donations, and I know this from doing fundraising here for Free Speech TV, in fact, and for some of our nonprofit radio stations that you know, they'll reach out and ask me to do fundraisers for them. If somebody is matching their gift so that you feel like that $50 you're giving is going to become $100, then you're more likely to give it. It actually increases donations. It doesn't, you know, it's not just the match. So that's why they do it. It's not, you know, just to get the money or like that. It's, you know, it's not just some little slick thing. It actually works to increase response. But Tim, thanks for the feedback, and you know, keep filling out those surveys. You know, at least the ones from Democrats actually probably are paying attention to the information. It seems like most of the mailing lists I'm on are Republicans. Tim, thanks a lot for the call. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
John was just telling me she just got invited to Mar-a-Lago today. Isn't that sweet? We'll be right back.
Our Tom Hartman University book review of the day is Richard Belzer's new book, Corporate Conspiracies, How Wall Street Took Over Washington. This is from the introduction. Of all the books we researched for this work, the title we loved the most was this one, Regime Change Begins at Home, Freeing America from Corporate Rule. We loved it because it presents as a hard fact something that very few people completely understand. And then he quotes from that book. Since 1980, America has been run by a corporate regime that has co-opted both political parties and shifted sovereignty from we the people to transnational corporations, end of quote. Since this book covers some corporate conspiracies, we will no doubt take a lot of heat for that and be deridingly referred to as conspiracy theorists. So we would just like to remind people that the phrase conspiracy theorist was actually invented by the Central Intelligence Agency, be used as a weaponized term with which to discourage people from seeking the truth. We kid you not. CIA document 1035-960, dated April 1, 1967, regarding the agency's concern about the reputation of the American government, in quotes. That document also suggested various tactics for countering, quote, conspiratorial arguments, which confronted the gaping holes critics observed in the findings of the Warren Commission, which investigated, in quotes, they really did no such thing in reality, the assassination of President Kennedy. Quote, the agency also directed its members to employ propaganda assets to negate and refute the attacks of the critics, end quote. So as you can see, and as the Freedom of Information Act release of that CIA document clearly reveals, use of the term conspiracy theorist is actually a conspiracy itself. But if you believe rightly that Julius Caesar and hundreds of other leaders were the victims of conspirators, as they were, then you're an evil conspiracy theorist, right? Well, if anybody actually believes that, then you'd better read up on your history, boys and girls, because conspiracies are an ongoing and very common occurrence in human conduct. Now, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Are you aware that many friends of Robin Williams believe that his suicide was the direct result of the prescription drugs he was taking, and that over 23,000 suicides are attributed to psychiatric drugs each year in the United States? Did you know that turning prisons into a big business has resulted in the United States having the highest incarceration rate in the history of the world, and that most are just drug crimes? Are you aware that the historic event of the toppling of the statue of Saddam Hussein in Iraq was actually a U.S. military PSYOPs, psychological operations warfare program, a completely orchestrated event with the knowledge and assistance of U.S. media and not a spontaneous event as it was portrayed by our media? Did you know that the Pentagon is sending $1.5 trillion of our tax dollars to their corporate buddies for a new fighter jet that's already superfluous? Are you aware that continuing to rely on oil instead of investing in low-carbon energy solutions will cost us $44 trillion due to climate change? Did you know that companies like General Motors at times know that their products will kill people, but they do nothing because it's actually cheaper to compensate the victims than it is to correct the problem? Then read and learn on, friends. American corporations have been getting away with murder, literally, for many, many years. Just take a good look at their history. The above example of GM is a proven point. Consumer advocate Clarence Ditlow, executive director of the nonprofit Center for Automotive Safety, bitterly criticized the settlement, quote, GM killed over 100 people by knowingly putting a defective ignition switch into over 1 million vehicles, Ditlow said. Today, thanks to its lobbyists, GM officials walk off scot-free while its customers are 6 feet under. Tobacco companies knowingly lied about the harmful effects of cigarettes for decades, even though there was plenty of known medical proof of their damage. They even knowingly hid that information from the public. Oil, gas, and chemical companies have been knowingly polluting our planet with cancer-causing chemicals and products also for decades, and they know that they're doing it. Pharmaceutical companies have lied and attempted to minimize news coverage regarding the deaths that they know the drugs will cause. That's murder, plain and simple. Maybe you can paint a public relations damage control over that landscape if you happen to have all their tons of money and paid political influence, but it's still murder. Look at the parents of one of their victims straight in the eye and try and tell them it's not murder. Do you honestly think they'll listen to you? This book is an effort to reveal the insanity of corporate greed once and for all. At this point, most people probably care more about their local football team than they do about the workings of our democratic republic. And while we understand their frustration and their reasons, that's not good enough, folks. We have to all get involved to stop these bastards from getting away with what they've been getting away with for far too long. They're robbing us blind, poisoning our planet, hijacking our democracy, and ruining the futures of our children and grandchildren. They must be stopped. As an agent of the U.S. government employed to implement policies to benefit U.S. corporations, John Perkins noted in his classic work, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, that corporate America has extended its rule beyond our borders. Quoting from Perkins, what we had previously considered U.S. corporations were now truly international, even from a legal standpoint. Many of them were incorporated in a multitude of countries. They could pick and choose from an assortment of rules and regulations under which to conduct their activities, and the multitude of globalizing trade agreements and organizations made this even easier. Corporatocracy had become a fact, and it increasingly exerted itself as the single major influence on world economics and politics. Sad to make this observation, but we have become a government of the corporations, by the corporations, and for the corporations. That's Richard Belzer's new book, Corporate Conspiracies.
George in Palm Desert, California. Hey, George, what's up?
Real quick, like to get sprinkle a little optimism. There was an admiral, and I can't find his name. He was a contributor to MSNBC. He was on about a year ago. And they asked him this question about fascism and these militias. And his answer was, the military will never allow that to happen. They will never back a person or a political party. They will back only the Constitution. They asked him about what about some of the people in the military. And he said, we will root them out and get rid of him. So what's your opinion on his opinion?
I wish he was right. I'm seeing no evidence that the rooting out and getting rid of is happening. And there is substantial evidence that there is massive recruiting of white supremacists within the military and to join the military just to learn military skills so that when you get out in 2 years, you're now a trained killer. I mean, there's no shortage of good coverage of this. And so I am, so far that wall has held. But I think if you go back and look at Chris Miller, who Donald Trump put in as defense secretary in charge of our military, he was the guy who wrote the memo on January 4th forbidding the National Guard from helping out for security at the Capitol building on January 6th. Our military has already been compromised. George, thank you for the call. I mean, I have a lot of faith in our current Secretary of Defense, but man, it is a fragile system. It all depends on people. And that's why, a fascist takeover is so dangerous. Thanks so much for being with us today. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. In the meantime, don't forget, democracy is not a spectator sport. It requires you. So figure out how you can best participate. Tag your it. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.